Hello, and welcome to The Mystic Journey. I am your host, Mona Magic, and this is the first of many live broadcasts brought to you by our sponsor, Radio Blog Talk. For those of you just tuning in, you can call area code 347-308-8258. And again, that's area code 347-308-8258. Or you can always visit my website at monamagic.com for more options. Just a quick note that this segment and all other future shows to come will be converted into a podcast, so you can listen again and again at your leisure. As much as you like, put it on your iPod, your blog, your website, but just remember, it's there for you. I've got a fantastic show for all of you tonight and some really great guests. I'm really excited about this. We'll be talking about spellcasting, one of my favorite topics, sound therapy, something we all should really include in our lives, and a new CD by Emergence. I'll be speaking to them a little bit later on in the show. I think I've got a call here. I've got here joining me Sammy from the ESP Lab. He's also a member, has been a member for about 30 years now, and he's now the president of the ESP Lab. For those of you who don't know, ESP Lab has been around for 40 decades, and they're pretty much back from the old school time, helping everyone out with spells, spiritual enlightenment, training, lots of courses, and Sammy's here to talk about that. I'm just seeing if he's on the air at the moment. Sammy?
You hear me okay, Mona?
Yes, I can hear you, Sammy. I thought we had a misconnect for a second. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. And you?
Oh, I'm just doing fantastic. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show. I was a little nervous there for a second because I thought all the electronics had gone down for a second.
Well, I'm here. I know that it's a little bit of a technological feat. You're up early in the UK, and I'm up in the U.S., and we're here together, and that's a good thing.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, in the intro, I don't know for sure if you heard me, I basically mentioned about the EST Lab and how great and, you know, how wonderful it's been for so many around the world. I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about the EST Lab and where it's come from and what they have to offer and where they're going to now.
Well, certainly. It's something that I'm quite fond of. The EST Lab was founded by Al Manning, who was a great magician who authored 23 books on magic and metaphysics and ESP, a number of which were bestsellers and 11 correspondence courses. And he founded the ESP so that he would have a forum for his research into all the occult and metaphysics and spirituality. And Al was the president for over 40 years, and 2.5 years he went to greener pastures, and he had asked that when he slipped into the other side if I would take over, and so I did about 2.5 years ago, and I've been keeping it going since then. Basically, we're an international white magic school, fund spiritual upliftment for our membership and the larger community, and we regard laughter as a light attunement and have pioneered its use as the best medicine. White magic we refer to as creative and positive applications of the work, healing, love, prosperity, fun, and joy. And we're dedicated to preserving Al Manning's works and disseminating those. And we offer education on various metaphysical subjects from astrology, ESP, prosperity, white witchcraft, healing, meditation, metaphysical use of stones and herbs, spells and rituals, and we try to have a fun time with it every day.
So I see you accept, people from all paths, or do you basically have a membership where is that people have to follow a certain criteria and they have to do certain rites in order to become members?
Well, we're very eclectic. We're probably the most eclectic membership I've ever participated in. By that I mean you know we have people from all faiths, meaning we have the monotheists who just want to have a little bit of a sparkle of magic in their lives, from Jews, Christians, and Muslims. We have some members in Africa who are into Egyptian magics, and Native American members who are more into the Great Spirit. And we have people who don't put themselves into any category necessarily. They just are kind of interested. But the ESP Lab is a service organization of spiritual science, and spiritual science is an organization which likes to document spiritual experiences. And Edison was an example of a spiritual scientist. When he created the phonograph, he was actually trying to create a device to document spirit voices from the other side. So spiritual scientists are into documentation that spirit works, that prayer works, that magic works, and that if we pray for you or we do a treatment or a spell for you for healing or for prosperity. I'll give you an example. A member wrote in during a Mercury retrograde and said she wanted her condo to sell at full price as soon as possible, and it sold on the first day for full price. So that's one example of a recent member writing in. And so our policy is to affirm the success of all members daily, and that any requests we receive that are positive, we do treat for their success. And so that's part of our service.
I see. You know, what's amazing is that I don't recall seeing lots of adverts about the ESP Labs, but it's funny enough, a friend gave me the information about the ESP Labs almost 20 years ago. And doing so, I've been pretty much, you know, in correspondence with the school for a very long time. But it's just amazing you've stayed around for so long, because there's so many schools out there, online at least, as well as, you know, I guess, you know, resorting to just writing down in paper and visiting your nearest occult store. But you guys have basically stayed around for a very long time. How do you think that you've managed to do it for such a long time?
Well, Al was the driving force. Al was a go-getter. When I first joined, they had a nice we had a nice center in Hollywood with a bookstore and supply store, and there was a nice 5.5-foot marble pyramid. And really, the Al Manning was the driving force, and I'm really the, you know, the guy. He said, well, if anything happens to me, please take over and keep my work alive. And as a person who's benefited as a member and as someone who has enjoyed getting a newsletter every month for 30 years, I wanted to just do what I could to keep this fun thing alive. But, you know, it takes a lot of work to keep anything going.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, especially service organizations. I work as a volunteer, for example, and I'm also the largest single financial contributor. So I'm just very much into it. It's helped me immeasurably. I can't imagine not having one. When I live in Colorado, and the lab headquarters is now in Colorado, USA, and when I moved to this mountain town of Durango some 14 years ago, I kidded Al, saying, well, there's a there's a Baptist church, and there's a Unitarian group, and, you know, and I said, where's my ESP Lab chapter? Al Manning, with 23 books and numbers of them bestsellers, and the tremendous amount of service he did for so many years, there's just so much value in his work that it's really natural to keep it going, and our members are really fond of it. It's kind of like, you know, we have people who've been life members for 20 or 30 or 40 years who send in their $40 a month or $30 a month, even though they already, they owe no dues, they still just help keep it going, because it's important to all of us.
Well, can you explain to the audience pretty much what a membership involves and exactly what happens? How does one get the richness from the ESP Labs?
Well, first of all, it's very affordable. We've been in business 43 years, and the dues in the beginning were $2 a month for USA members and $3 a month for international members, and really that just pays for the postage and the newsletter going out. We do a monthly newsletter, and one of the elements is we pull forth from Al's archives numbers of his works. So we bring forth an editorial. We have a light exercise. We have a healing meditation. We have testimonials. On our website, esplab.com, you can see hundreds of testimonials. We do a monthly astrological forecast from Al's Maverick perspective.
Right.
Well, he and I were both more of an astrologer from the standpoint of using it as a tool to enhance your magic, if you would. It's not a conventional astrological report, but it's fun. Humor is always a key. We have lots of old cartoons from the history of the lab, and we bring some of those up and add some new cartoons. So the first member benefit is getting the newsletter once a month, and it's important to the membership to get that. We do have a spirit power star in the middle of the newsletter, which is a point of contact with spirit, and it's blessed to bring good fortune into those who are participating. So, and then we also do a daily broadcast of the white, the blue, and the green light, the white of spiritual unfoldment and spirit power, the green of growth and love, the blue of protection, healing, and strength. And so members who want to participate. We have various courses that go on. We have a minister in Florida who answers our office phones over there and who will do spiritual counseling and readings with people who call in. But we're really in a state of reorganization because Al was the founder. It was based on his writings. He ran it for 40 years, and however, our perception is he's still working with us on the other side because this was his baby, and we're just keeping it going, and so that's it in a nutshell.
Of course. And, you mentioned a buzzword earlier, and that was magic. And, of course, this show is about spellcasting and how to enhance your life with spellcasting. Can you give, I'd like to walk everyone through proper spellcasting because, there's so many cookbooks on a shelf, and when you go to the Barnes & Noble, the Borders, there's so many things that people can do wrong and give up on magic, the faith of knowing that they can actually have the power within and to pretty much build that. One of the things that I've seen a lot is with the cookbooks is pretty much doing the regular chanting and then waiting for a particular result and that result never coming. And then lots of people get discouraged and then just pick up another book. And then I've seen a trend where that people pretty much go to, I guess, people who would cast spells for a person for a particular thing and, spend lots of money doing that. Can you explain to the audience one of the simplest ways to really go about proper spellcasting?
Well, of course, folks have different perspectives. But basically, for me, if you use the word spell, I think of the root word from the Old English, which means to discourse or to talk. So if you want to think of it very simply, just back to the basics, the way I look at it, and I think you probably share a related view, is that we're all magic people, that life is magic, the world is magic, nature is magic, magic is all around us. The universe is continually manifesting miracles all around us. I'm a gardener, so I was eating organic grapes that I grew this year and organic pears, and what a miracle. But basically, back to the question of what is a spell. Well, if you think of your thoughts are magic thoughts, and you're a magic person, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, that's the reality of it. So if you as a magic person have a thought in your mind and then you make it present into the physical, that's a form of a spell. And if you think of, so your thoughts are real and your words have power. And that is really back to the basic energy of a spell, or as above, so below. Your thoughts are real, your words have power, and as you bring your words into the physical realm, you have taken something that was in another plane of existence, which is the mental realm, and you have brought it into the physical realm. So a spell can be very simple. It can be a word, it can be a magic phrase, it can be an incantation. Well, now let's just say you have an incantation, and it is a phrase that's with the intention of creating something. For example, in the ESP lab, before we do any magical works, we might want to do something that's going to bring some protection energy into the realm. So we might say, we might invoke a power personality, which it might be Rama and Agni, or it might be Mama Isis, but we would say, Mama Isis, bring the light to me. Mama Isis, bring the powerful light to me. Sweep away the things that harm. Let them cause us no alarm. Mama Isis, bring the light that sets us free. Now, that's a very simple spell. It's a very effective spell. Now, but the real issue is, where is the practitioner? What is their mood? What is their attitude? How are they feeling? Is their thought patterns clear and free and firm, or is it loaded with doubt and fear? So one of the issues when you pick up a book off the shelf and you try and just figure it out, for a number of the average people just embracing it for the first time, they may have worry or doubt. Well, is this real? Is it going to work? Bum, 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 bum.
Right.
You know, so in addition to the magic words, which could be simple, a clarity of who you are. You're a temple of light. You're a master or a mistress of the universe. You are a shining star. You are a son or daughter of the goddess. So if you have a clarity of who you are, and then you have the power of a magic word or phrase, and then with the mood, the clarity, the attitude, the method based upon appropriate training, and the specifics of what you want to accomplish. And the way I think is keep it simple and fun, but the bottom line is you have to access spirit power with positive focused energy, and again, in the ESP lab, we do it all with fun. Then once you have that clarity, you know, the addition of a power spot, power objects, power names, herbs and oils, colors, candles, incense, astrological timing and influence are all there to enhance the basic spell form. But
yes.
But the foundation for me is love. And if you can get to a loving place in which you can truly surrender to the universe, and you have clear intention and you're doing it from a positive, like, for example, someone says, I need healing. Well, if you're sending energy to them, if you're accessing the power of spirit and you're channeling it to that person, then you can have a clarity that what you're doing is toward the good. And that's what we emphasize over in the ESP lab.
Well, let me ask you, there are many people out there who feel that, I guess, you know, you've got your people in the dark side, let's say. How do you deal with those people who would actually come to you for breaking up a particular couple or doing something, I would say, other than white magic? How would you basically address them, and what would you basically recommend to people who aren't looking at the request quite clearly? Because many times when people want things, I guess, on the other side, you know, breaking up a couple or causing someone harm. Really, there's another issue that should really be taken, you know, to the forefront, such as maybe they should look at their own situation, and maybe that's just really not the avenue to go.
Well, it's very easy for me, since I work as a volunteer. No amount of money can influence a decision, and then the organization, you know, is based on accessing the light side of the force to do good. And so the thing of it is that I'm not going to, whatever anyone is going to say might be in their heart. But, you know, we do have every once in a while someone gets angry in terms of a relationship breaking up, and they may say, well, go ahead and I'll send you $25 and would you curse this person? And then we counsel with them in a loving way and say, well, we don't do that in the ESP lab, but we encourage you not to indulge in those negative thought forms because it's going to hurt you. At the same time, we may invoke protection for a person, or we may invoke the power of the light to defend a person against a negative attack. But we're focused on the law of freedom, and I just don't participate in those. And I just, in a very loving, natural way, remind the folks that ESP Lab is dedicated to the good, and we're happy to work with you on any of your positive requests. But when people start trying to manipulate others, and we're focused on how can we live a richer, fuller life, and it's hard for people, it's hard for all of us, because this can be a mean old world out there. And you know, you lose your wife, or you lose your husband, or you lose a relative to sickness or death, and those are harsh things to have to deal with. But as far as practicing any kind of negative energy or negative magics, it's just not our thing.
Sure. Well, you know, I know that the ESP Lab has many correspondence courses. How does have you seen the progression spiritually in many of the members who've taken those courses?
Well, I can primarily speak of myself because the membership is rather clandestine, meaning it's kind of a private organization. So as a person who has only been the president for 2.5 years, I can speak more easily on how it has helped me. I can tell you that we do have folks who are life members. We have about 200 life members. We have one woman who wrote in, and she was the woman who sold her condo the first day it was listed at full price, and she is a third-generation life member. Her mother and her grandmother were life members before her. And so the thing of it is that we see testimonials coming in from folks all the time of how the ESP Lab has enriched their life. I know that my own life has been transformed because Al Magic, I started call him Al Magic, but Al Manning had numbers of practical systems that were very straightforward, easy to use, and he would say, if you have enough faith to try them, then you have enough faith to make them work. So, I have seen numbers of members blessed, but we haven't really been offering the correspondence courses since Al passed away. We've been offering 8 of his books and just his first correspondence course, which was A New Light of Help for You, only because in the reorganization we have 40 years of archives to sort and to dust and reorganize and reprint, and so it's a huge project, and we have a small staff, and half the staff is volunteer staff, so So just in terms of the correspondence courses, I know that I took them 25 years ago, and I really enjoyed them. We have them on everything from how to prophesy to how to use the I Ching to practical magic for a practical world and all of those kind of things. But in the context of the 23 books and the 11 correspondence courses, all of which I'm committed to seeing reprinted and digitized and republished, just for the archive of it, you touch on virtually every subject of the occult imaginable.
Right. So would it be fair to say that pretty much you include many of the systems from the occult perspective, the Golden Dawn, the Kabbalah, and things like that, within the actual courses, or do you actually plan on enhancing the courses going forward?
Well, both, meaning that our monthly newsletter is based on the style of the 40 years of newsletters that came before them, which is we have a power spot on the opening page. We have a monthly light meditation. We have members that were affirming their good. We have an editorial, whether they've been by me or Al Manning, or Al Manning's son Michael is on our board. He's been a member for 40 years, so he's helping to keep the tradition going. So within the spectrum of Al's works, we have this huge occult, metaphysical, spiritual library encyclopedia. But we add new things to it, new perspective. We modify some of the old things, but one of the things we want to be careful of is not getting too creative with Al's works in terms of we have to preserve them in their original format, and then we can also then extrapolate and do new things and have a new emphasis on things.
Sure. Well, I think improving any type of spellcasting, it's best to, you know, read as much as you can, learn from, you know, those who've been out there for a very long time. But in reference to spellcasting, can you give the audience a few tips as to when to do proper spellcasting? Because many people, I've got lots of information on my site about the best days to do certain spells, working around the moon, and et cetera. What does the ESP Lab pretty much have to say about that?
Well, we have a lot to say about it, of course. In Al's White Witchcraft book, which is Helping Yourself with White Witchcraft, which is, some people have said it's the best book on white witchcraft ever written, he talks about, you know, using the planetary hours and so on to help time your spells. Like, for example, I've been known since the 70s for my prosperity magic, which was based on Al's work. But the Associated Press, took a story nationwide of numbers of people who had been interviewed, who had a prosperity blessing, who got a benefit, and that was my first. That was when I was a new member of in the lab, and I sent Al a copy of the article. But basically, the first prosperity spell, for example, that I ever did was, since prosperity is about increase, it was when the moon was increasing, and then the moon in a water sign is a more fertile time, and it was a Thursday, which is a Thor's day or a Jupiter's day, and it was at Jupiter's hour. And so, you may say, let there be rainbows and waves of good fortune for you and me, our friends and families. Okay, so that has a power. So, but if you time it when the moon is increasing and the moon is in a water sign and it's Jupiter's day and it's Jupiter's hour, then you have...
Oh, that's definitely a success spell.
Pardon me?
That's definitely going towards a success spell then.
Yeah, exactly. You have all that energy going into to assist. And, it was, my first attempt at it was quite successful, and that was in 77. And So I've been doing it ever since, still successfully. And it just, when I first made up a batch of Al's Prosperity Powder that first time, I says, well, I wonder if it'll work. And it worked in November of 77, and it's been working ever since. So we still do prosperity blessings for our membership and folks who write in for that.
Sure. What do you have to say about love spells, one of the most popular themes out there that anyone could possibly write about? Love spells, I know, and money is pretty much high on the list there. But what do you have to say about love spells?
Well, the first thing is that if I look at myself and I look at the ESP lab, we're pro-spiritual development. And as that as being a reason for being, if you would. Now, yes, so people want money and they want love and they want success and they want protection. But love and money are right there at the top of everything.
Indeed,
the first thing from the ESP lab standpoint, it's okay to influence, but it's not okay to manipulate. So for me, I personally stand on freedom is the first law for all beings on all planes. So the thing with the love spell is a person may come in and they may, and we offer them, you know, and a person may say, I really would like some loving energy from Mary Smith or whomever it is. So the way I respond to it is like if a guy says, well, I want my wife back, you know, we might do some clearing for him and counseling with him in the context of there was perhaps negative energy that created the disruption in the first place. But for example, I have made up a wonderful, according to one of Al's recipes, a wonderful oil of Aphrodite, and it's more of a thing that it generates more love when it's ever used. So you know that's the kind of application that we might get into is enhancing love or enticing, or as opposed to any form of manipulation, because people have to be free to choose.
Yes, and I think also, too, one of the biggest mistakes in spellcasting or when a person considers spellcasting is not really looking at the overall picture. Because if they do want this person, or let's say enhancing the particular person's, you know, influencing, or not so much influencing, but encouraging an amorous type of love attitude, that may not be what they want, because many people go about love sometimes very selfishly. Sometimes they should really take a look about what they want before they actually go forth and doing that. I'm a big and firm believer that love should actually become, you know, should really be natural. And that's, you know, something that most people really aren't willing to wait for love. They really want everything right away. They want the money right away. And sometimes, you know, it's not a bad thing to work for something.
Well, I agree with you. And also, you know, whenever I'm doing any kind of work for myself, then I always tend to add or something better. Because a problem, from my perspective, we sometimes tend to over-specify, but we might be specifying based on lack of information or misinformation. So if I think I want that, I may not really want that. I may want something slightly different, and if I turn it over to spirit and say, or something better, then and then I'm open to receive the graciousness of spirit, who knows what can walk through the door.
Indeed, right. And lastly, I'm going to ask you about other avenues, and then we're going to start taking callers here. Do you use any other type of tools? Would you recommend tools that people should use within the rituals? Because there's lots of different sects, different types of occult systems that use various tools. What tools would you recommend, I guess, new users, novice users, as well as people who have been in the arts for a while?
Well, by tools, you're, like, say, for example, you would refer to a candle as a tool, perhaps?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Okay. So
tools and the tarot cards, you've got lots of things, yes.
The all of those things to me are to enhance the state of the mental condition, if you would. The thing of it is, yes, I do have a candle going right now, and I did burn some sage, and I so you have the whole herbal arena in which different herbs have different metaphysical principles. So, for example, if you were going to do a prosperity ritual, if you burn sandalwood incense, then the sandalwood has a natural vibration of opulence and protection. So you're getting that energy by lighting that incense. I really like the White Mountain sage from California because it's an herb that chases away bad vibrations or transforms them. So herbs have each herb has a different metaphysical principle in addition to its physical principle, like cinnamon. Cinnamon is a money drawing, has a money drawing energy. So those would be two things I might use if I was going to make a prosperity powder. I would have sandalwood and I would have cinnamon and I would have things that were sacred to the earth if I was going to create prosperity. So within that context, you have the whole arena of the herbs, oils, candles, colors, so every piece of it has a potency. And so everybody has to discover what works for them. Like I love to work in nature. I studied with a Native American sun priestess for 16 years, and I love the Native American philosophy, and I love the growing plants as divination. Like I told folks, we would have a lot of snow last year because the mullein grew high. So if you're a natural person, then you look to the natural world. Then there's the whole, in my mind, when you think of the elementals and the natural kingdoms, then you have the physical representations as tools. You have the chalice, the water, the candle. You have the incense burning, symbolizing the air. All of those are helpful tools to help you get to the right magical mental state. But the other thing is that a truly magical person can operate with the tool of their body, with their magic wand of their body, containing all the elements and being a microcosm of the universe. So you have everything you need within you. But tools can enhance your mental state and your magical creativity. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. I think that it's all helpful. It's something to really, really put your life into. It's not something to go in and go out, to dabble. Magic can be very, very powerful. On that note, I'd like to take the first caller here because I'd like to get some questions in there. Let's see if we can connect this through. Hello, caller. You're on the air. How may I help you?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Caller, you're on the air?
Hi, I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Mona.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. My name is Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you doing? So, have you been practicing magic?
I have, yes.
Okay, and do you have any questions for Sammy or myself?
Yes, I've been listening since the top of the broadcast, and I'm wondering, he was talking about the ESP lab and its goal for spiritual upliftment. Sammy, can you expound on the laughter aspect?
Oh, yeah.
I would love to hear that.
You said you're talking about laughter, right?
Yes.
Laughter was your question and how it applies.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. From our perspective, laughter is a light attunement. So what happens when you laugh is it charges your chakras with light, and then it charges your aura. That's one reason why laughter is more than the best medicine, because physical disease begins in the aura and in the spirit body. So laughter, number one, does help keep you healthy, because it keeps your aura bright and healthy, which promotes the health of your physical body. But another thing is that laughter dispels darkness, because as those chakras brighten and the aura brightens, it's a natural psychic defender. So in the ESP lab, we're always cracking jokes, and he would crack jokes 20 times a day, and I would crack jokes, and I would call him Dirty Dancing Dino, and he would call me Swinging Swami Salami, and between it, we had this camaraderie that went back and forth that was ridiculous, but the whole point of it helped to keep us laughing and keep the boogeyman away.
Yes, because we all needle towards the levity. We all wondered why in ourselves, well, maybe we don't wonder, but we know that we're much more be around a pleasant person who's laughing than we would the one that's always sour, if you would. Another question I had for you, Sammy, is that you were talking about when you guys were talking about a effective skull casting, and you were talking about Thursday, Jupiter Day, and when the moon is increasing. That I understand, but what is Jupiter's hour?
Well, it changes every day. So if you want to think about it, I mean, you can get complicated with it. But the first thing is, so I think my recollection, it's either 8 or 9 o'clock, and I would have to look it up, and I probably could look it up even while I'm sitting here. But
A.M. or P.M.?
I believe it's probably 9 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it's 9 o'clock on Thursday evenings.
Yes.
And
is that Greenwich?
So, pardon me?
Greenwich or?
I don't take it. Basically, I don't do Greenwich. I do it where I am, when I am. If you think of it this way, the Monday is the moon day, and all of them are correspondence. You know, you have Sunday, you have Saturn's day, so you have Thor's day, you have Woden's day, Martus is Mars' day or Tuesday. But in any event, there are tables out there, and one table is in Al Manning's White Witchcraft book, and that's kind of like, if you would, detailed spell casting.
That was my next question. So it would be, what's the title of his book?
Helping Yourself with White Witchcraft. You know, I just for fun, we have a few copies at the lab, but I was wondering to see how available they were on the market, and there were 76 copies on Amazon, as right as we went to press, and they were the same book was as cheap as $1.10. They went from $1.10 to $70 something. So somebody is getting rich on Al's.
Oh,
actually, no, actually, let me just read here, just for fun, since you asked.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So Thursday, Jupiter's hour is 8 p.m. So when I did that prosperity spell, it was Thursday, and it was 8 p.m. my time. And 8, of course, is a manifestation number as well. So the thing of it is that you can get over-analytical about it. And really, the point is, it has to feel good. And from another perspective, the time is always now. Because, you know, in life there's numbers of things that you can't wait for forever. I just know that if I look and I see a day that's more challenged astrologically, that there's a Mars square, the temper tantrum aspect, or there's a Venus square, the heartbreak aspect, that I will go ahead and do, as I'm driving into town, I will be doing chants of protection and chants of peace and trance of transforming negative energy into creativity, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Well, we've got one of the caller here, and then we're going to go into our next guest. But I think that was a great question, Mary. Did Sammy answer your question for you?
Yes. Yeah.
That's
Thank
good.
You, Sammy.
That's good. Caller 4, you're on the air. Can you hear me? I think there's a little technical delay there. Either that, or they've actually stepped away from the phone. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to go into the next guest in a second. But, Sammy, you know, this is lots of, it's great information. I think that an hour is never long enough to talk about magic. What would you like to say in conclusion as to the best ways to go about, helping people out there who are already practicing magic?
Well, the first thing I do want to say, I really appreciate that you invited me to talk on your show, and it's been fun. But the admonition I would give to a person who wanted to be a magical practitioner is get your foundation and let your foundation be based on love. If as soon as you get too intellectual, the mind can be very elusive. Get your foundation in love. And get a very solid basis, a method of working, and make sure it feels good to you. And if you like anything else, if you can find someone who's already been through it, who can give you some guidance, it's a lot easier if you're going to fry an egg if someone shows you how sometimes, or change a spark plug. It may seem simple and easy, but if someone is showing you how to go through it, that's an important thing.
Before you even, if you can just stay on the line as well, but before we conclude our conversation together, I was just wondering, does the ESP Lab plan on basically traveling or doing any type of seminars where you can show that person how to fly that egg?
Well, in the big picture, the answer is yes. In the small picture, we're still reorganizing after our move to Colorado, and we have, over 500 members, and we do get requests from seminars. We're more likely to host a conference in Durango, Colorado, and invite people here rather than me spending a lot of time traveling, only because my time is really tight, usually speaking.
Yes, indeed. Especially with members, yeah.
But in the big picture, in the longer term, yes, we would like to see, but that's also something you don't tend to pick up in just a 2-hour seminar or something. But the basic point is I want to hear. There's an old admonition when you go to the temple. You are about to enter the temple of the Great Mother. Search yourself well and say if you are worthy. So you have to believe you are worthy, and if you're not, then get worthy. And never bring your negative energy to your altar. You have to always approach your altar with positivity. Your altar should be clean. You should salt it. You should sage it. You should bless it. You should bring your white candle. You should invoke the light, and you should be sure that you invoke the light and are protected as you pursue any magical path, and let the foundation be love.
Great. Thank you so much, Sammy. It's so good to stand here. We've got a guest here, and I'm hoping that she's on the line here. It's Anita.
I'm here.
Basically promoting her new CD called Emergence. With Emergence, there's lots of sound therapy in the background, and I'm going to basically see if I can turn it up a little bit. But Anita, I was wondering if you could talk about your CD.
Okay, sure. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah, I can. I'm hearing the CG a lot, right?
Yeah, okay, it's soft. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, you'd like me to speak about how we make
the CD? Well,
I
was wondering, because your CD is based off of sound therapy, and I was wondering what part of sound therapy is inside your actual CD. How does one use your CD for sound therapy?
Okay. Well, very simply, it's not the kind of music you would listen to driving, that's for sure, because it can be very activating. It would be something not even for a deep meditation, be something that you would put on and lay down, get very comfortable, and different thought patterns could be evoked from this kind of chanting. Different memories could surface. You could go on a journey, a very visual journey as well. There's many aspects
of
healing.
Would you recommend doing this before a particular ritual, or would this be in meditation, during meditation?
It would certainly be good for, how can I say, I don't know what the right word is. It'd be invigorating to do for your spirit, for sure, before a ceremony. However, I would listen to it basically just with a light ear or in your meditation room. It's the kind of music that it's different for everybody. I mean, some people just find it entertaining. They really do. But if you want to go to a deeper level, I mean, I've had profound healings from my own CD, probably basically because I put in things from places that I've been before, so I've been activated from those sounds, like past lives, or just channeling different beings that I'm familiar with, or have something to do with the kind of healing that I'm into at the time. World healing, personal healing.
Well, let me ask you, the tracks on your CD, your new CD, would you recommend certain tracks for certain types of healing or certain types of, spiritual responses that you'd be looking for?
Okay, well, sure. The track, and I actually don't even have it in front of me right now, but it's called Dirge. It's very much, if you listen to it, it's almost like a funeral procession, and it evoked for me in Laird, but again, it could be different from other people, the aspect of Atlantis in the last days. Now, Laird very much is...
Laird is the partner with the CD, right?
Yeah, okay. But Laird very much has the memories of Atlantis.
I'm very
much a Lemurian. So without getting into a whole bunch of things that happened between the both of them, there was a passing of both places, and it was a very sad time. And that chant in particular... is a very strong healing of those ancient
days. So you basically use it for more so healing than anything.
Pardon me?
You use your sound therapy for healing more than anything.
Yeah, I would say that, sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
When is your CD out?
When is it out?
Yeah, is it out in stores now, or basically?
Oh, no, it's out now, for sure.
I see.
And if places are carrying it, but you know, it's like anything else. When you make something, you have to promote yourself, so we've sent it out to various places and that, and we kind of feel like we're still in the beginning stages, actually, of getting CD out there. I mean, there's some healing places where we'd like to send it to, but again, it's pretty intense. But again, it depends what you're into in your life.
I see.
Like the people that we know that are into meditation, I have a sound meditation group where I do this kind of chanting, or I do other very specific sounds that I bring in. And for the chakras, I especially like to work with the heart.
Sure. Well, what I'm going to do is, you know, because we're actually running out of time. Anita, I have a link on the site for anyone and all to actually visit your site to purchase your CD. And I do see that you're going to have a concert coming up pretty soon in November, the 8th, is it? Let's see, what date is it
well,
for?
On Thursday in Waterloo, Ontario. It's actually at Holyoke, which is the store that's selling our CD right now.
Okay. And
so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Great, great.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
I want to say to everyone, thank you so much for joining me tonight. And, Sammy, thank you for spending the time and talking about magic and empowering everyone. Thank you, all callers. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to all callers, but magic is always a very, very heavy, heavy subject. Just wanted to let everyone know that on the 9th of November, we'll have a new show, and that new show basically is Native American Spiritualism and Mysticism. We're having a priestess and shaman as a guest speaker at that point. Otherwise, I thank everyone for listening, and if you want to plug in anything else, Sammy, you can go ahead and do. Are you still there?
Oh, I certainly am. I do thank you. Yeah, if folks are interested, check out our website, esplab.com. We have lots and lots of information on it and all our contact information. So thank you, Mona. And while you're at it, look at monamagic.com if you haven't seen that, because there's lots and lots of resources there.
Thank you, Sammy. Yes, indeed, monamagic.com. And I wanted to thank everyone. This is the first broadcast, and we'll be improving it. There were a couple technical issues here and there, but we got through it all, and there's lots of information. So stay tuned next week on November 9th on Sunday, same time, same place. God bless everyone. May all the spirits protect and guide you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you,
Anita.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.